Slayer. So that comes from Gretchen, who knows her business when it comes to the military and to recruits, because she used to be an army officer. Anyway, have fun, guys. If I were you, I'd go into military intelligence. If they give you a wide thing, take intelligence. Because I think you guys are actually well suited for it.
Military intelligence.
Well, you're the guy that collects all the information and sorts through it to see what's relevant and what isn't. Military intelligence analyst. They're not going to stick a damn gun in your hand. Stuff like that. At least not. Everybody gets paid that thing. That's one of the things about it. Everybody gets paid that, as far as I'm aware. Although some careers are going to get paid better for that. I don't know. But, yeah. All right, guys. Get on that. Ouch. Oh, I'm going this way. Alrighty, we're making a recording. Listen to it, it's 9/11. Proof. Presentation. Quite good, actually. Anyway, so, Friday, Lisa was out walking without me yesterday, out at Eastern, and hurt or something, and hurt herself, so she's kind of out of commission for a few days, something. So I'm walking in the morning to work from home, which is kind of what I was busy doing to begin with. So, interesting stuff. Depends who you talk to. There's several theories out there. Some of them make sense together, some don't. Of course, this is what happened in the absence of any plausible information. People just take the 9/11 commission's information on this. It's like, well, it doesn't explain many of the things that happened. There are a good number of things that were just flat ignored. An entire other building falling down the same day. Looking very much like controlled demolition. World Trade Center 7. That's very telling. Anyway. What it simply becomes is that there is evil in the world. That evil often colludes with others to accomplish goals. You could call these conspiracies. And you simply you have to know that they exist. The Book of Mormon talks about that the ultimate destruction of the Nephite people was due in large part to this group called Gadianton Robbers. At various times they were a secret organization. At other times they actually amassed enough power that they came out as an actual almost like an actual independent nation. And one of its great purposes was the destruction of the Nephite people. And after a while, you kind of get the idea, and you're going, you could see in the beginning why this, some of the reasons they had for it. You could even call them justifications, I suppose. But when push came to shove toward the very end, it seemed senseless. You know, didn't even have a particular axe they were grinding anymore. It was just destroy the Nephites at all costs. You would let an individual person off the hook if he joined your organization. It almost becomes like a gang. The gang really doesn't need much of a purpose anymore, except its own self-preservation and needing something to do. And destroying the Nephites it gives a person purpose. You don't even have to have a reason anymore. Sometimes it helps to have a rationalization for what you're doing. Other times, not even necessary. You go, they are simply the enemy. So, we have a lot of these these things. Anyway, that's one of those things back to mind again. And it was good. I'm getting a little tired. The 24-hour news cycle has become the now you are absolutely awash in your ideological rhetoric. From whatever point you want to bring it from. And one has to step back a little bit. Or at least walk away for a little bit from the shrill voices. concentrate on what you need to be doing. What comes to mind is somebody like C.S. Lewis, who, to a large extent, probably didn't know what was going on in his time, particularly. You know, he concentrated on what his study was, and probably kept his nose somewhat out of other events. I think it's so much more important now because there's such a flood of information and you can get easily lost in it. So you almost have to divorce yourself from it to a large extent so that your mind can concentrate on something else. I'm coming back to what I call the grand development. I don't know if y'all call it system. You can call it the plan, I would imagine. The Mariner's Log. The guide to follow. For development. If you're interested in becoming a god, he said, and this is quite important, and the whole thing, probably last week, something clicked in me and I went, oh, it's like Downton Abbey, the Celestial Kingdom. I had made stabs at conditions around the celestial and terrestrial kingdoms. I never really came up with a good one for the celestial kingdom. And Downton Abbey is very much like that. A little beehive of activity. The family, and it's not bad to portray it that way, and they often did, you know, we protect the family. Or that's what people downstairs would say, you know, the family is the center. Everybody else functions as support for the family. And that's the way such a kingdom will be. He'll have all kinds of servants taking care of all the needs of a great house. And then you have the family, and which is what you are a part of now. You're in kind of the shakedown cruise of the family. You're not a servant here. Nobody is. The development program, for lack of a better term for it, is checking you out. see where you should be put. It's a test. The test to see how you will be. I see. Anyway. I'm always brought back to the test it's supposed to take for future command people for Starfleet Academy, Star Trek. And they put you into this situation with no preparation to know what you should do. And then they see how you react to it. And this life is that scenario. We're going to put you into a situation. You may say, oh gosh, I'm screwed. I was screwed from birth. How unfair. And if you keep harping on that, you're going to fail miserably. You have to take what you were given and do the best you can with it. The parable of the talents is so amazingly powerful with this. Some people were originally given 5 talents. Wow. Lucky break, baby. Some people are only given 2. You can say all day long how angry you are that you didn't get 5 or 3 or 4, but you only got 2 or even 1. But that's part of the test. Given what you have, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit and whine and complain? Or are you going to take what you've been given and try to make something happen with it? Because that is the ultimate test. And yeah, you can say all day long, well, I'm doing the right thing. And you go, we're not going to tell you that. Because you need to do stuff that merits getting more. It's all very clear in the Bible if you're studious about it. It's very, very clear. Whatever you've been given in this scenario, and let me tell you, this scenario is not reflective of you in the larger setting at all. You know, you can come back and say, God, I must have sucked in the pre-existence, or in the pre-earth life. Sorry, it's not pre-existence. The pre-earth life. Because, you know, everybody else sees me doing so much better than I am, and you go, nope, that's not something you should suppose at all. Not something at all. That's why you don't know what came before, and you can't see what comes after. It's not relevant to the test. In fact, you may behave you may not behave very well knowing what you were before. so it has to be even handed all the way across so nobody gets to know. That's one of the rules. It's got to be even handed. So we keep the basic conditions the same across the board. I don't even know if the thing's randomized. So I know it is. You know, people say, oh, you were supposed to come to the parents' dance, and you go, maybe not. Anyway, I don't know how it works. All we know is, this is where we are. Take it for what it is. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.